Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll go around the NFL with Jason Lockenfour. We'll get picks from James Carville and Jeff Ma, and we'll have the bleep button ready for James. But first, as always, commerce.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You were about to be either tied or lose the Washington game, and they didn't go for two, and they missed the extra point. And so you covered.
I will say this. Thanks to Ron Rivera, and this is proof that you almost never want to bet on this. I've lost because of this very same bad decision by Rivera, right? So this stuff does even out. But you and I were texting about this. He is worth a point to the other team in every sprint.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
So following up on what we talked about yesterday in the open, that the PTI show was just going to be nothing but the NBA. There's no avoiding it. I fear that that's the same today.
Yeah.
I fear that we will have to talk early about Joel Embiid getting, what did he get, 51 points against Minnesota last night as the Sixers at home handily defeated the Timberwolves, which, by the way, they're supposed to do.
Yes.
They're supposed to do, but now I'm going to have to talk for 2.5 minutes on what's going to happen in June, you know, which I don't really know what's going to happen in June. So anyway. I look for other stories, and I don't really see
Here's
them.
A primer. The playoffs should be expanded, right?
Yeah, more teams should be in the playoffs.
Yeah, a couple more at least.
Because what if they finish 11? Okay.
At least Booger's on the show today, though, right?
Huh?
Booger's on the PTI today.
Booger's on the show today.
I wonder if he's got any holiday golf planned.
So there was, I'm sure he does.
Yes.
So I don't usually talk about this, but I'm going to talk about this, however, briefly. The LSU women's basketball team. Came to Coppin State last night. That's a mismatch, of course, because LSU is the defending national champions. But you do this if you are the coach of LSU, Kim Mulkey, and you have recruited through the transfer portal Angel Reese, and she's from Baltimore, you do this. You make sure she gets a chance to go home during her time at your school. Dean Smith famously did this with whoever he recruited. He made sure in those days you played 4 years. He made sure that in those 4 years, you always, if you were a prized recruit, you always got to go to pretty close to where you grew up to play in a game. And because everybody likes that.
Yeah.
And Angel Reese loves that. She is the best player on the national championship team. All right. But we still don't know why she missed those games. We still don't know this. She missed 2, 3, 4, whatever she missed. And it was a story. And Kim Mulkey shut it down. She shut it down. She said, I'm not talking about this. If something happens in a locker room, that's in a locker room. Kim Mulkey's completely right to say and do exactly what she did. But it's amazing to me that nobody has found anything out about this.
Yeah.
They've just let it go. They've just, you would think that by now, look, I'm a sports writer by trade. And I think, wow, how can this not be a story? How can it be done? And it's done.
Feels like some questions needed to be asked.
It's done.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the... Everybody knows what the questions are. You have to find the person who'll tell you.
The coach
isn't going to tell you and the player isn't going to tell you. But nothing happens in sports that only involves one coach and one player. That's not how it works. There's ripple effects throughout a team, throughout an administration, throughout, you know, the whole structure. And nobody has come up with exactly what happened. And maybe they never will.
It's the ripple effects that you're surprised that it doesn't slowly get leaked out, even though if you think about the intentions, this could be the difference between pros and college, where you look at the trust that might exist between a coach and a player or a university and its students and its teams.
I am in awe of Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese for this, that it's apparently settled. It's apparently behind everybody. We don't know what it is, but they're great. They're a great team. She's a great player, and Mulkey's a great coach. Mulkey has won national championships at different schools, and they have, I don't know. I mean, I'm taking the minority view here because I'm a sports writer by trade. I think 98% of the people out there just say, shut up with this. You know, she's playing. What's your problem? And I understand that point of view from what I grew up with in the business. Wow, this still is not reported. Is there an appetite for it? Maybe not anymore. Maybe not. It just always sort of leaves me going, wow, how did they do that? All right, it's the beginning of winter. So we go through this every winter. When I say this is a great day, because from now on, there's more, after today, there's more light in the sky for a longer period of time. But as I find out every single year, and I'm reminded every single year, there's already more light, I guess, at the evening than there has been before. And there will be less light still in the morning for a couple of weeks.
It slowly catches up.
It confuses me, as so many things do. It confuses me. But I don't, I mean, I accept this. My prejudice is...
You accept the world around you? Great.
I do. My prejudice is I don't care at this moment in time. I don't care about more light in the evening. I care about more light in the morning. Like, that's what I want.
For very selfish reasons. The
I'm
dog.
I'm a very selfish person. I'm walking the dog. I want to... I'm out in darkness in the evening. I accept that. But in the morning, I want there to be light. Now, there is light in the sky. There is some light in the sky by 7:05.
Yeah.
You know, there's light in the sky.
But at night, like at like 4 o'clock, it feels like it's getting dark.
Could be worse.
You live in Boston. Yeah. You'd leave class. It's 3:30. It's already dark.
Yeah, it's dark. Yeah, it's just... Ugh.
Boston is the worst for that.
Well, outside of like Alaska, where they have like 30 days of night or whatever.
Alaska's not in the continental United States. We're not likely to get
So I was thinking about this. One, we were looking at getting posters for the boys, and we wanted to get one that showed the different phases of the moon. Yeah, that's a hint maybe for a gift down the line from you. But I was thinking about the Miss Congeniality quote. What's your perfect day? Well, like, what is your perfect 2-week window of the year in terms of you get what you want in the morning and in the evening? Or maybe you're placing the importance on the morning.
I will tell you what, the morning is more important to me, but I will tell you the worst for me is when we go to daylight savings time.
Because it's a shock to the system.
You just go back into darkness. It's not fair. It's not right. So I don't like daylight savings time. And I don't like it.
And animals don't have clocks. So I don't know if you deal with this with Chessie, but she's probably like, hey, I'm supposed to go out. I know it's only 5 a.m. or your time or whatever, but my clock says it's 6. Let's go.
Yeah. No, it's just you have to.
It's a lot of math involved with this.
You have to adjust. you have to adjust to it. But it's always.
But this is a
good
day.
It's a nice day because it's the last. It's the last day of this.
Yeah.
And then it gradually, and it's very gradual, it's seconds. For a while, just seconds of more light.
But we'll take them.
Yeah.
We'll take those seconds.
I like that.
Yeah, so I find it ends up being lined up more with the holidays. So now whether you celebrate Hanukkah, Christmas, there's so much energy in this middle of December through the New Year. And then you get to the darkness that is.
And the snow.
Yes.
Which is coming in January and February.
Yeah.
Like more snow the last 5 years or something like that.
That's what they're saying.
So I'm not crazy about that. I wanted to also mention one other thing. I'm one of the few people that gets a newspaper, physically gets a newspaper delivered. We are a shrinking group of people.
But you still read a number of stories on the online.
I do. I read a lot online. Yeah, sure. But I also get the newspaper. There was an ad yesterday maybe or the day before, Monumental Sports, and they are the people That's owned by Ted Leonsis, who is responsible for, at the moment, trying to and wanting to move the Capitals and the Wizards out of Washington, D.C. into Virginia. And there was an ad that you could sign up for the streaming service. I don't understand streaming, so it's not aimed at me. But for $200, you could sign up for the streaming service. And if you did, you could get a couple of free tickets to selected games. But it didn't say, were those games going to be in Virginia? Like, it didn't say that. Didn't say, yeah, 4 years from now and in Virginia, you know.
I'd pay a premium to take those games off of local cable.
Yeah. And it also offered...
at least in the district.
Bobbleheads that nice. Didn't look anything like the people they said they looked like. And it didn't look anything like
are
that.
Are you surprised that the technology for bobbleheads hasn't changed more in 25 years?
Better?
Yeah, when
shouldn't
would that...
bobbleheads... Shouldn't you say, oh, that's... Alex Ovechkin, yeah. And you shouldn't have to worry.
I feel like every year there's
that?
A promotional bobblehead. They go, "Ooh, we have to take this one out. This was problematic."
They don't look good. Yeah. They don't look like the people involved. They just don't look like the people involved. There was Ovechkin. There was Elena Deladon. Didn't look. And then there was Kyle Kuzma. And I said that to Wilbon and said, "Why are they doing that? He's going to be gone at the trade deadline.
Yeah, within a month,
he's a rental. He's a 3 month rental." So anyway, all right. Let me shut up. Let's go to Jason Lockenfora when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Curry, Dylan Curry. It's a song called Poem to the Moon. And Dylan Curry lives in Washington State. Shares my fascination with the moon. By the way, the moon is right now waxing, getting larger and larger and larger. Full moon probably about a week away.
Waxing gibbous?
I don't know about gibbous. I don't know about that. I know it's waxing. Jim Curry of Satellite Beach, Florida sent this to us because this is his son, Dylan. And Jim writes, "I've listened to your show since 1996 while we were living in D.C. and have missed very few shows since. We're now retired in Satellite Beach, Florida, about 20 miles south of Cape Canaveral. Best wishes for the holiday to Tony, Michael, Nigel, the whole gang of littles." Plays in Jason Lockenfora with this read. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, host of the podcast In the Huddle, covering the entire NFL. Let me get to my notes for Jason. So I wrote this down yesterday, and I don't know how you feel about it. And I don't even know that anymore there's enough writing that matters where you say, well, this is the arc of a whole season. But I said, Jason, if you asked me to write the story of the season, I would say it's the backup quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen this many teams needing to go to second and third string quarterbacks, not for one game.
Right.
But for, you know, five, six, seven games.
I don't think so. I think this feels different. I think this is different in the volume, in the number of at least potential playoff teams that have dealt with this to some degree.
Yes.
The way it's happened in droves, the way some of these guys have kind of bubbled up or surprised us more consistently than we thought. Tony, it's been such a thing that, like, I remember when Josh Dobbs was a thing.
Yes, you know what I mean? For 3 weeks.
Like, and he's lost his job again. But, like,
yes,
there were the game, what he did, you know, against Atlanta, where he barely got there in the middle of the week and didn't know what was going on, and then what he did against the Saints after that. And so, no, it yeah, I mean, I wrote about Joe Flacco at the Post maybe a week ago, and, you know, it was kind of like, okay, in the year of the backup quarterback, is this guy the one who's going to end up taking it to the next level and be the last one of those standing until he eventually falls? Because I don't think the Browns are winning a Super Bowl with him. But no, I don't remember this many stories, it being so quirky, it just being so much. And it's starting so, like, it started so soon in the season as well. Like, we had the Badgett thing for a while, right? The D2 kid and Cutlets and, like, it's just, it feels like every week there's another one of them.
I wrote some things down, because in terms of possible playoff teams, Jake Browning, Cincinnati, yep. Joe Flacco, Cleveland, Gardner Minshew, Indianapolis, Case Keenum, Houston. And then you have other teams probably not in the playoffs. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the Seahawks would be, but Jets, Giants, Steelers, Titans, Chargers, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings. That's almost half the league, Jason.
Yeah, it's been... it's been pretty wild, pretty bizarre. And Browning is playing, like, really good football.
Yeah.
And he didn't play exceptionally in his first start against Pittsburgh. And a fair amount's been made of that with those two teams about to meet again. But, like, I went back and watched, you know, some of the cut-ups of that. Like, he wasn't god-awful either. Like, it wasn't maybe as bad as we kind of made it out to be. And it's also a really tough spot where that's a team that had legitimate, at least coming into the season, we thought legitimate Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl aspirations, and Burrow, you know, had just got that contract and had just come back from injury himself because of, you know, starting the year he was banged up, and, you know, coming off of the preseason injury, or actually training camp wasn't even preseason.
The calf injury, yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know. This guy keeps, you know, even in that Steelers game, he completed a high percentage of his passes. Like, he keeps completing 75% of his passes every week. Like, if that's your foundation, if that's your jump-off point, that's not a bad jump-off point. I know Jamar Chase is out now, and I get it. It feels like at some point here the walls might close in, but I'm not sure it's this week against Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's lost three in a row and four out of five. They're no good. And they're on a third-string quarterback.
Right.
Here's what I'm wondering about. When you step back from this, now it hasn't happened. Well, Burrow is a star. Certainly Herbert is a star. But they're not stars in the way that, you know, that Mahomes is a star and who's the best quarterback. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson hasn't gotten hurt this year. But if Purdy hasn't gotten hurt. But if the league looks back, do they say, we've got to protect quarterbacks better? We have to make the rules even better so that Tom Brady starts screaming. Is that possible in your mind?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's a driving force of most things they do. You know, I think, you know, how does it affect the quarterback? What does it mean for the quarterback? What can we do for the quarterback?
Yes.
I don't think that's ever, you know, out of sight, out of mind for them, or a back burner, or, you know, who cares? We like it for X, Y, and Z. I mean, they know where their bread's buttered here. And as sort of neat and cute and fun as some of these stories are some of the time, they know how to make money. They know, you know, what makes games more or less attractive on national television, and which games advertisers will get more and sponsors will get more or less excited about. And it's, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that often involves having some of the team's best quarterbacks on the biggest stages. And that's, I mean, look at how they devise the primetime schedule and how they keep adding, right? What's one of the main reasons why they keep adding these buffers where we can change these games later and we can change more games? Well, it's because quarterbacks get hurt. As much as they try to put together rules that will incubate them as best as possible. So could it, you know, even further that? I mean, it's possible, but I don't think they often get very away from that. I just think it's also the way this game is played. You know, within reason, there's only so much you can do. You know, are we going to put them in a different color? You know, we're going to put them in a penny? You know?
Right. Right.
Like a goalie, a penny that looks different than everybody else's jersey, and, you know, make sure that nobody lays a hand on them. And the other issue is, I mean, quarterbacks are like the prototypical quarterback, or sort of the, you know, whatever, the average or the median quarterback. What his skill set is keeps evolving, and it tends to involve more and more and more. Guys who make plays,
they
extending
run.
Plays,
yes.
or outside the
that's
pocket.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that's that.
They expose themselves. Yes.
I mean the guy who's, you know, the old school, just pocket drop back passer, they feel a little bit more like the anomaly. Like you watch these draft classes of quarterbacks come in, you know, and there might be one or two, you know, who last in this league. And that's really what they do and who they are. But there'll be many more who the element of their legs and activating their legs are a big part of what make them go.
Yeah. No, and I'll get off that. I'll get off that. There's a huge game Monday night, Christmas night.
Yeah.
Ravens at 49ers. I assume that the MVP is at stake on this game, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that it necessarily, you know, the spoils go to the victor because – you know, it could be a game where the 49ers are this oiled-up machine and Debo does two or three things and you're like, woo. You know, and McCaffrey does his thing and goes over 125 yards scrimmage and, you know, has two or three really cool catches and, you know, is a sledgehammer on the ground. And, you know, they keep showing these videos of Trent Williams road grading people 15 yards down
yeah.
the field. You know, and Purdy is very efficient, and he, you know, he's his 21 of 27, you know, for 267 yards and, you know, a few touchdowns. But a lot of that damage is in the pocket, you know, and the ball's coming out real fast, and it's three-step drop, boom, and it's a whole bunch of yak. And they end up winning by, you know, more than a touchdown. And on the other side, Lamar is this one-man gang. They're rotating his tackles now, Tony. If you've got two quarterbacks, you've got none. I'm going to let you in another little secret. If you've got four offensive tackles, you've got none.
Right.
So they're rotating tackles. Keaton Mitchell becomes this other explosive element who could get back there, you know, in the pistol with him and make things happen in the option game. Now they lose that young man for the season after they already lost the guy he eventually came to replace, J.K. Dobbins, at the start of the season, and there's no Mark Andrews. You know, and he might run for 100 yards and only throw, oh, I'm saying only in air quotes, for like 215 or 205, but three or four of his third down completions are just, you know, plays that take 6.5, 7 seconds because he's doing all this amazing stuff inside and outside the tackle box because, again, he doesn't have tackles.
Right.
You know, and he might still be, you know, like they might lose the game. They might lose the game by much more than even the Vegas line would you know, anticipate, yet you come off the field saying they might have lost by 30 if they had any other quarterback in the league. So I do think there's a script where the eye test continues to resonate highly for him, even beyond the box score, you know, and Purdy will maybe put up his traditional box score, which is excellent. But just think about this. Think about all the other players on that offense who get talked about and
they have four people who can score any play.
Yeah.
Nobody has that in the league but the 49ers. They got four.
I mean, since they're bye, I was looking at some of the CBS research packet. Like, I think since they're bye, Ayuk, Kittle, Debo, and McCaffrey combined already have 2,400 scrimmage yards and, like, 20 touchdowns. Yeah. Between those guys, just in the five whatever weeks since their bye. Like, who, tell me somebody else on Lamar's offense who, like,
no.
is any good.
No, like, you don't have that. No, so yeah.
Maybe the center, you know, the center might be second team Pro Bowl. Like, oh, okay, but he's a center.
Yeah.
Like, it's just two different things.
All right. I'll get you out of here on this. 2 weeks in a row you've had Buffalo winning. Mm-hmm. You've gone on this show and talked about Buffalo. Are you sold on them, or would that just 2 weeks? Oh, you are sold on them.
I was kind of sold on them before they won those games. Right. You know, they made the coordinator change, which I didn't. I felt like was not the kind of thing they usually do. And talking to people around the league, there was a fair amount of skepticism that this was going to in any way be part of some, great rising for that team. But you know what? It has turned out to be that. And I don't think it's this created that. But the reaction to that change has been significant. And this team's running the ball now 52% of the time. I mean, they went from running the ball 40% of the time to 52% of the time. I'm going to have a piece on them this weekend. They have gone from a team that's living in shotgun to now getting a little old school, running from under center. They have four people involved in a very diverse run game that kind of features multiplicity. I think they're the best Bills team of the Josh Allen era.
Wow.
For Buffalo. I think this team is built more for actually where they play than any of these other additions. And every other time, it seemed like they overachieved or caught people by surprise or just went on a magic carpet ride where it's like, well, they're going to win 14 games. We don't know which 14, right? But they're going to compete for the one seed. They're going to run away with their division, and we'll see them in January. This team's had to scrap and claw and overcome adversity, and I kind of thought they would gel. I thought that bye came at the perfect time. And then, yeah, they have, they lost the game to the Eagles that they should have won. They were the better team in that game. They outperformed the Eagles. They found a way to lose. That's been their MO for a part of the season. But I do think they've shed that part of their skin now. And I think they're getting in the playoffs, and I think they're going to be very dangerous when they get in. I'm not sure they're going to surpass Miami because I think Miami's going to be a real tough game for the Ravens, coming off that San Francisco game a week from now. But, yeah, I believe in these Bills. And the more reporting I did on them this week, the more I believe that they're going to be pretty dangerous in January.
All right. Plug your radio for us, your radio show.
Sure. You can listen to me 2 to 6 daily on Inside Access on 105 The Fan in Baltimore. And you can also check us out anywhere, I think in the world, on the Odyssey app or certainly anywhere in the maybe not too far-flung regions of the world. You can read me bi-weekly this time of year in the Washington Post. Check me out on CBS Sportsline for any handicapping and gambling information. I think that's it
right now. That's a lot. Thank you, Jason.
And of course, the In the Huddle podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm about to do that.
I just was getting you there, Tom.
Just guide me there. Jason Lockenfour, boys and girls. That was Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfour. Make sure to follow In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We will return with James Carville, maybe, and Jeff Ma, certainly. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, you wake up in the morning, boy. You hear the ding dong ring.
It's James Carville's walk up music.
Then you look upon the table, boy.
Paul Evans.
You see the same darn thing.
Midnight Special. Not the one most people are used to, but the original.
Well, Lead Belly, I think, was the original. Yeah,
so this is a very good one. A bunch of things to say to Carville. First of all, and I don't know that you ever watch the show anymore, but if you watch the PTI show, I put up in the book area behind me, All's Fair, your book with Mary. That's up there. People can see it.
I watch it a lot. I just didn't notice it. Okay,
yeah,
great.
People can see it. And I also mentioned this the other day. Not on the air. I'm not saying that I am directly on television because of X or Y, but Mary helped me so much to get confident to be on television when she used to put me on the All's, what was the show called?
Equal Time.
Yeah.
I had breakfast with David Zaslav in Los Angeles, and he was reminiscing fondly about, he kind of, Brandon Roger Ailes was over it. It was a weird time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm very grateful to Mary for that as I think back on these things a long time ago. All right, you got crushed last week on bowl games.
Oh, my God,
the Old Dominion, that's the most amazing bowl game ever, right?
They lost that. In the Rams over. Sometimes people that listen to this, that engage in this type of activity, you got to purge your system some weekend.
Yes.
every bowl bounces the other way.
Yeah.
You know, look, in the Army-Navy game, it bounced my way. The game ends up on the 2-inch line, you know? So there is some truth to it balances out over the course of a season.
Well, you're 57, you know? 51, and 1, or you're 69, 51, and 1, counting Jaden Daniels. So,
well, I don't know how you don't count.
So I am.
You make the 12-1 pick.
I'm counting
it. At any rate,
we're
coming back this week hard.
Okay, right? What do you got?
All right, you got Georgia State, Utah State.
Yes.
All right, take the favorite, Utah State, -2.5.
That's in the famous Potato Bowl.
Yes.
Okay.
I get these things. JMU and Air Force.
Yes.
Air Force, take Air Force. +2.5.
I got to stop you on that. JMU was like ranked this year. You're sure?
They're very good.
Yeah.
They're very good. But you get into these bowl games, you know, who wants to play, who doesn't want to play. And Air Force they play pretty rough bad football.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Okay.
All right. Utah at Michael Wilbon University.
Northwestern, yeah, that's the SRS Distribution Bowl, whatever that is.
SRS, in Vegas. Distribute 6.5 points your way and take the Wilbons.
Take the Wilbons, the mighty Wilbons. Northwestern +6.5. Okay, what else?
And then Miami, which got to be one of the most disappointing seasons of any program there is, and Rutgers. And I'm impressed with Rutgers. I'll take them in a point.
Yeah, it's in the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl. Miami strikes me as sort of like the equivalent in the pros of the Chargers. Like, they're supposed to be better than this. They weren't.
There are certain teams that are like that. And Miami is like that. The Chargers are like that. The Angels are like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, every year you keep saying, they're going to be good.
No, they're not good. What else you got?
The pros, we got one pro game. And it's the Colts and the Falcons. The Falcons up laying 1 point. I go with the Falcons.
Okay, I thought you had the Oklahoma State, Texas A&M as well. No?
Did I?
You sent this to us. Well, you took Oklahoma State.
Yeah, you had Oklahoma State +2.5.
Texas Bowl.
All right, put them up.
Okay.
Transcribe my notes.
Oklahoma State +2.5 against A&M, another very disponenting team.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, man. Ooh, that was
disappointing.
We got it, but
all right. Let's hope you. No double plays this week.
Not this week, but we're gonna come with a lot. We're coming with a lot of steam. There's a lot left in this year.
There's
a lot of football left here, gentlemen.
There is. Thank you, James. Best to all, James Carville. It's always a pleasure. And by the way, I should read this: that this week's picks with James Carville and Jeff Ma are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. It is true that I'm, for anyone who cares, and maybe nobody really cares about this, I had done a bunch of stuff on ESPN on a show called The Sports Reporters that was on Sunday mornings at 9 or 9:30, and we taped it at about 7 o'clock in the morning.
Did you find more comfort when you were on a panel, or did you not really know your place?
I understood my place completely on a panel. I understood how the time was going to be carved up, but what Mary had me do on Equal Time was co-host with her. So I could sort of speak whenever I wanted to speak, or, you know, come out of what the guest was saying and continue part of the conversation. It was harder to do. It was more creative to do. There was more independence in it. And part of me thinks that that was better training, actually, for PTI.
Yeah.
Yeah, more impromptu. And those panel things are not impromptu. There's a particular rhythm to them. You know when you go. And
yeah.
This other thing. And Mary Madeline out of nowhere just said, do you want to do it? I had no experience, and she was great. So that book, it's a wonderful book, All's Fair. It's their life story. And it's been out for a long, long time. But it's a wonderful book. Is Jeff with us?
Jeff is indeed
Jeff
with
Ma's
us.
Jeff with us. All right, Jeff had said he might want to talk. Jeff had a good week last week. Jeff was 3-1-1. Jeff is 12-2-1 over the last 3 weeks, and he's 42-35-2. But you talked about the shifting of the future odds. Because I never understand futures, so tell me what you mean by that.
So right now you can bet on who you think is going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And you can bet on any team, obviously. And, you know, who would you assume, Tony, would be the favorite in that right now?
I would assume San Francisco, unless Baltimore beats them on Christmas night. I would say San Francisco.
Yeah, so currently San Francisco is. And there's a few reasons, obviously, that they're the odds-on favorite. They're likely to get the bye right now. They're the best team by most advanced metrics, and they've just beaten their top two competitors. But the spread between them and Philly and Dallas has become pretty large. The 49ers, if you bet on them right now, if you bet $100, you'll win $200 if they win the Super Bowl, which is not a very great bet.
Right.
If you bet on Philly or the Cowboys, you bet $100 on them, you get roughly $10. I mean, $1,000.
Oh, 10 to 1.
10 yeah. to 1. So it's a pretty big spread, and that spread has gotten really big in the last 3 weeks because of sort of everything that's happened with Philly and the Cowboys. And in my mind, that spread's gotten too large probably, but you kind of see the value there of getting that bye and then having home field throughout. You know, we've only been doing this for a few years, but you know, the belief is that getting that bye and having that home field is incredibly valuable. As you mentioned, Baltimore, they're the favorite right now in the AFC.
Yeah.
They're roughly about 5 to 1, 100 to win 500 to win the Super Bowl. And then after them is Kansas City and Miami.
So let me go back to the notion of getting the bye being valuable. And it usually is in football. But we've noticed it's no good at all in baseball. Now, my belief would be that's because there's a series being played. It's not one game. You're not dropped in cold one game. One game is not an enormous advantage to a football team than going on the road against a better team. But we've seen it in baseball that the bye hurts, right?
Yeah, I mean, the baseball thing is interesting because obviously you would expect almost it to be the opposite, right? That if you get a bye, meaning like you get to bypass an entire series,
yeah,
that you get to come in and over the course of, you know, a few games, you're going to end up being the better team. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of differences, right? I think one of the things, the physical toll of football is such that getting that bye is a really big deal.
Yes.
You don't have that physical toll in baseball. In fact, you know, the belief is that baseball being in rhythm and playing every day and then taking that break is bad.
It's bad.
There's a lot of sports
yeah.
where we've seen this in the NBA when they moved to this sort of 7-day all-star break, those first games back, you would see lower scoring, specifically in the first and second quarters because of the rust.
Oh.
So there's certainly an angle where rest is bad in some sports, but in football, it's clearly always been documented. Like teams off a bye and all
they win,
they're there's value there. And, certainly having a guaranteed win in football is huge.
So are you saying that you would suggest that people bet on Dallas or Philadelphia as well as, say, San Francisco and sort of try to, you know, cover themselves?
No, I mean, I don't think that's the right way to look at it. The futures markets are tough because in many cases, you can't bet both sides. Like, there's not a lot of places that you could bet San Francisco not to win the Super Bowl or, so the market tends to be a market that isn't quite as valuable, meaning there's not as much value. I mean, I think, like in futures markets, where you see value is early in seasons. You can see value sometimes in long shots, or you can see value where things are just generally mispriced. Like an example we talked about in Bet the Process this week is the Bengals, who are currently in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If the playoffs were to start, they're actually 55-1 to win the Super Bowl. So that's a huge, you know, obviously, like if they do get in, there's opportunity there. But the reality is they're there for a reason. Their route to actually get into the playoffs, they have a very tough schedule. They have to play, good playoff teams down the road. So it's hard to find value in futures often. So I think that actually Cincinnati Bengals are 55-1 to win the AFC. So you can get tremendous value on them if you believe they're going to make the playoffs. But again, their route to win the playoff, to get into the playoffs, is very difficult.
Now, what do you have for us this week, Jeff?
Okay, so we're going to start with the Miami Dolphins -1.5 over Dallas. Dallas has a pretty underrated injury that happened in the Philadelphia game. Jonathan Hankins is their nose tackle, went out against Philly. He's been kind of their big run stopper, and you even saw it in the Philly game. People are able to run against them. Buffalo just dominated them on the run and on the ground, and Miami could do something similar if Hankins is out. So if you're betting that game, keep an eye on Hankins' injury status, but Miami -1.5 over Dallas. The other thing is Dallas doesn't have a tremendous amount of incentive to win at this point because they're probably locked into the spot they're at. Philly's probably not going to lose their games down the stretch because they, again, play a pretty weak schedule.
Right.
I like Miami -1.5.
What else?
I'm going to take Chicago -4 over Arizona. Obviously, Chicago had a challenging game that they probably should have won. And
yes,
even at the end, maybe had a chance to win. But I do really like, I mentioned this, how they're playing on defense. I like what Fields is doing, and Arizona is a team that, down the stretch may lose some games and may lose some games by margin.
Okay. What else?
I'm going to take New England +6.5 over Denver.
Really?
New England's still playing pretty hard against Kansas City. If Zappe doesn't make that terrible pass in the second half, they're probably in that game. They haven't quit. They're still playing, but this is a game, I think, where Denver's probably going to take them relatively lightly, and I like them +6.5.
Okay. What else?
I'm going to take Philly -12 over the Giants. This is a game where, obviously Philly comes in a teeny bit underrated into this game because of their recent performance. In my mind, we talked about this, Rufus says that by his rankings, Philly should probably be a 15-point favorite. So you're getting a little bit of value because of Philly's recent struggles.
That's a lot of points in a division game, 12.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't really think the Giants are very good. I mean, I think
they stink.
Obviously the DeVito situation is what it is, and he's a great story, but it's kind of like the Cinderella midnight right now for him, I think. And, even though he fired his agent and he's going to get a lot more pizza restaurant bookings now.
Especially if he does them for free. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I think Philly's going to win that game easily. And this is a game for them to kind of come out and make their statement over everyone and win this game by, double digits and easily.
All right. Give us one more.
We're going to take Tampa -1 over Jacksonville. I heard you talking about this earlier and sort of that you were surprised about this. Tampa's played really well since their health of their offensive line has been good. And actually, Baker Mayfield has played incredibly well. over the last couple of games.
He has.
And I think with Jacksonville, one of the things that's built into this line is, you know, that I don't know if you watched that game against Baltimore. Actually, it was probably too late for you. But
I watched, you know, some of it. They hadn't. I thought they were just decimated. You know, I thought they were frauds. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jacksonville thing a little bit is just Trevor Lawrence. He's
yeah.
injury, and I think that it was pretty clear that something had happened in that game, especially down the stretch. He was overthrowing guys in ways that he doesn't typically do it. So I think there's a reasonable chance that he may not play or may not be 100% in this game, because both the ankle and a concussion are real things. And the concussion thing, I think, actually seemed more concerning to me down that stretch. This is like this world where the NFL is sort of arbitrary on when they pull people out for this concussion protocol. But he got hit really hard and did not seem to be completely there. And then obviously we find out later that he's in the concussion protocol.
Now, if he doesn't play, you know, then one is fabulous for Tampa. That's Tampa's at home on that game, right? That's at Tampa game.
Yeah, yeah. And in these lines, a lot of times they build in some level of uncertainty. So meaning, like, what would the line be if he played versus what he didn't play? Like, if he plays, probably Jacksonville might be favored by one. But if he doesn't play, like, Tampa will probably go up to a 3-point favorite. So this is kind of like built in. The probability is built in here.
In a very short period of time, when it became very likely that C.J. Stroud would not play this week for the second week in a row, Cleveland went from +2.5 to -2.5. It's a 5-point move. That's really a lot, isn't it? 5?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's a 5-point move, but it's also a move through zero, and it's a move through no key numbers, meaning like a 5-point move from, say, 7.5 to 2.5 is a huge, huge move. 2.5 to 2.5 is not nearly as big a move because
right.
the zero is dead, and none of those are key numbers in terms of, like, 3 is a key number, 7 is a key number. So it's a move, but it's certainly not the biggest 5-point move to see.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk next week.
All right, bye, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls, with his picks. And again, you can listen to Jeff and Rufus on Bet the Process. We will come back with Email and Jingle, and I am Tony Kornheiser. I always forget to do this read. Let me do the read. This week's picks with James Carville and Jeff Ma have been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I even circle it on the paper. I circle it, and I don't do it. God, I'm stupid.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Mr. Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you.
And that's Annie Kress. That's pretty good.
She can sing.
That's pretty good. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad for us?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you will be thrilled.
That will do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, so this is Christmas and what have you done? Another year over and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. Hope you had fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. That's John Lennon. And that's my favorite Christmas song. John Lennon singing.
It's pretty good.
There are a lot of songs I like, but that's my favorite.
That's the one.
Yeah, thanks to our guests today, Jason Lockenfora, James Carville, Jeff Ma. Thanks to all Jays, Jason, James, Jeff. Wow. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a review.
Big thank you to Finn from Pineapple Landscaping for the hats.
Yes, hats.
It's not too late to get that fall cleanup.
Right.
Well, yes.
Never too late until it's spring. Then you get the spring.
Oh, then you get the mulching.
Yeah. So it's Philly Cricket.
Philly Cricket.
And it's lovely. And you played that 1,000 times.
I've got some of my best golfing memories on that golf course.
Yeah, so that's very, very nice.
Changed the routing, but sneaking out to the 10th and 11th hole.
From Ted Keniston in Cincinnati, Ohio. Worst song ever. Feelings. Whoa, 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 whoa. Feelings by Morris Albert, 1974. That's it. That's the list. From Eric Myers in Decatur, Illinois. Indiana, rather. Oh, I guess there's a Decatur in Illinois and Indiana.
Oh, I was unaware of that.
I guess, because I know there's one in Illinois, and this is from Indiana.
Hmm.
The worst song of all time is Abracadabra by the Steve Miller Band. Shocked that it is yet to be mentioned. The Steve Miller Band is, I don't want to be too critical here.
Stevie Guitar?
But they are just phenomenally overrated sometimes. And they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
But
got
they're
some
not
nice songs.
The Beatles. No. From Daryl Baranowski in Pittsburgh. Just hoping you can confirm with Jeff Ma if this is a good bet in the first place. It's something on a screenshot. It's...
Oh, it's the...
Niagara. Niagara Binghamton. We beat them 70.
I think he got all three of his bets on that card wrong.
Jeff did?
No. Whoever this guy was.
I don't think Jeff's betting Binghamton.
Daryl did? Daryl Baranowski?
Yeah, I think he took Niagara. I think he took the over. I think he missed...
No, he took the under on Niagara. Under 69.5, and they got 69. Niagara plus 5.5. No. How did Niagara get plus 5.5? Yes, that's a win. Binghamton was favored over Niagara?
Dr. Biley Court.
Yeah, maybe
advantage.
It's that.
What?
Yeah. That snake pit called Dr. Biley Court. Don't want to go
what?
There.
Wow.
Snake pit. Speedy pit.
From Mike Todd, not that Mike Todd, in Columbus, Ohio. Dear Dr. Grandpa, in regards to Mount Rainier, I'm not sure the exact pronunciation, but in Boston they say Renar. Okay. Who's at the door? Can we see who's at the door?
Jesse and someone.
Yeah. From Bill Garner in North Potomac, Maryland. Boil the eggs for 13 minutes. Parking is most important and more holes are better. What is that?
More holes are better for Swiss cheese.
Oh, yeah.
I believe those are all the things we've learned.
Oh, this is information for life.
Yeah, that's what we've learned on the show.
From Ramy Candell about Binghamton University. Not sure if this is a David Aldridge moment, but here goes. I was at my friend's house the other night. I was talking to his daughter, who's a senior in high school, about where she was applying to school. So I asked this young lady, where are you applying? She listed off a lot of the big schools, Penn State, Ohio State, Maryland, Indiana, Georgia, Syracuse, Wisconsin, and then rolls off her tongue, I also applied to the Bing, to which I replied, the Bing? What is the Bing? I looked at her mom and dad, and they looked back at me. She says, you don't know? No, what school is that? She then says, Binghamton University. Silly. I said, it's called the Bing now? She said with 100% confidence. I replied back, oh, that's the school Tony Kornheiser went to. She looks at me like, who is that? I said, the host of PTI on ESPN. Had a show on CBS called Listen Up, wrote for the Washington Post. It was her time to look at me like I had two heads. She's never heard of you. More importantly, your alma mater is now called the Bing by the youth.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
All about selling some merch.
Yeah.
From Michael Baranek.
Doesn't cut it anymore.
In Akron, Ohio. It's come time. First day of winter in Akron is December 21st. The Northern Hemisphere is now furthest from the sun at 10:27 p.m. Akron, Ohio now sees the daylight increase. Eat it, Australia.
Yeah, we get that earlier sunrise. We have
talked about this already in the show.
Yes.
Obviously. Lee Rankinen. Menominee, Michigan? Menominee? Ever since the podcast where you discussed a potential future as a Walmart greeter, I've wanted to create that image using AI. Recently, we've started using AI to generate episode artwork for our Optimal Living Daily podcast, so I found this was the perfect opportunity to use my newly acquired skill set to spend 30 seconds to create the attached image. It didn't give you orange pants per my request, but it did give you a nice orange vest. It's a picture that sort of looks vaguely like me, although thinner than I. And I'm wearing a vest and a tie and a shirt, and I'm greeting people at Walmart.
You look very happy. There's a blown-up picture on the second page. Yeah, you look very happy about your position.
I don't think that's me, but also they didn't, you know...
He's semi-retired in a coastal town.
Yeah, they didn't spell Vikings wrong.
Right, with two N's?
Yeah, they didn't spell Vikings wrong. Joshua White from Denver. I watched a new movie last night called The Last Waltz. A concert flick that ended with a pretty good singer. I think he might be going places. You should look out for his right. Yeah, The Last Waltz is a wonderful, wonderful movie. That's Scorsese.
Yes, it is Scorsese, right? Yeah.
That's Scorsese. That is, the concept of that, obviously, is what Rob Reiner based the movie on. Of course
oh,
it is.
Oh, yeah, Spinal Tap.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, because he calls himself Marty DeBurgi in the movie. Come on. It's an homage to the last waltz, you know, picking at its skin wherever possible. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, everyone, do wear white.
Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas!
To the moon, waiting for my answer soon. I've been drinking in the sky, and I've been staying up all night. It's just a short arrow's flight. If you want to touch a satellite, in my heart I've made some room. I've been talking to the moon. His sound and vision shining down upon my face. You can wonder about the stars, but I don't bother, they're too far. The moon is right here in my own backyard. Sometimes, 'cause that's where I sit and hide, alone in my solitude, taking in the evening news, a running count of all who've died, a short walk to get inside. I've been sleeping far past noon, wrote a poem to the moon.